Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Kuf Dalet. Today's daf is entirely about Havdalah, so it's going to start out by discussing the text of Havdalah, the various phrases that we use in Havdalah, how many phrases to use in Havdalah, what the final phrase before the conclusion of the bracha should be, and then we're going to talk about whether the bracha should be said, how many phrases, different phrases about Havdalah should be said in the bracha of Havdalah, and how each phrase has to be modeled after some sort of distinction that's mentioned in the Torah. The Torah says the word Havdalah, or the Shoresh of being Mavdil, several times, and every phrase in Havdalah has to refer to one of those Havdalos in the Torah, and we're going to discuss the proper way to conclude the Bracha Havdalah, three opinions in Tanaim, three opinions of Amoraim, and then we're going to discuss Ula's Minhag, and that's going to lead us into a discussion about Bracha Smuch L'Chavrita, about which Brachos begin with a Baruch and end with a Baruch, which Brachos do not begin and end with a Baruch, but it's all about the Nusach of Havdalah, not just Havdalah, but the Nusach of Havdalah. We ended off yesterday, we were in the middle of discussing the four different situations or stories where people came to Rava and they saw things that were questionable. They asked Rava questions about his behavior. So the last one we had, the third of the four stories, was about the Avuka, that the Shamash of Rava got up and lit a torch for Havdalah. So they asked him, well, what's he lighting a torch for? So he said at the end of the day, after first saying something else, he said, Avuka l'Avdalah mitzvah min amuvchar. It's a mitzvah min amuvchar to have an avuka for Havdalah. And we pointed out that the reason that it's a mitzvah min amuvchar is that the nusach of the bracha is bore ma'ore ha'esh in the plural, and an avuka has many different ma'oros. It's a large flame that has a lot of different colors coming out of it, so that's why it's the most appropriate thing to use when you're saying a bracha of bore ma'ore ha'esh. It's interesting that instead of the nusach ha'bracha conforming to what we needed for we make our behavior conform to the Nusach HaBracha. I mean, why was the Nusach HaBracha in the first place? Borei Ma'or Eish, but it's not so shver, because the Bracha is not said on our fire, it's Borei Ma'or Eish. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei all the different Ma'orei HaEish. So the way to appreciate that is by appreciating all the various Ma'orei HaEish. One of the issues that the Poskim have with using electric light bulb for Havdalah, for Ner Havdalah, is that issue, that it's usually when you have an electric light bulb, it's just one color. It's just it's a steady light. It's not flickering. It doesn't have different colors to it, and that's one of the things they don't like. They say Reb Chaim Eiser used an electric light bulb for Havdalah, for the Bar Moreish of Havdalah, but that it seems very clear that he was doing that because there was a big tumult about electricity and whether a light bulb has a din of Eish or doesn't have a din of Eish. So he wanted to make a statement that he's going to bet Bracha Levatala on it every Mitzvah Shabbos that it does have a din of Eish, in order to make a statement that electricity on Shabbos is a serious problem. But Pashtus is, most of the posts can assume that it's best not to use an electric light for Havdalah, better to use a real fire for Havdalah. So we're up to the fourth story, about 7-8 lines before the end of the page, on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, Pasach va'amar. So then Rava started to say Havdalah, and he said, Amavdil ben Kodesh Chol, ben Or L'Choshech, ben Yisrael La'amim, ben Yom Hashvili L'Shesh Tzimei Amaseh. So Amalei, Lamalach Kulei Hai, why do you have to say so many different Havdalos, all these different phrases of Havdalah? V'amar Vidom Rava, Amavdil ben Kodesh Chol, Zui Havdalos, Shor Bida Anasi. Rabida Anasi kept it simple. His Havdalah was, Amavdil ben Kodesh Chol, and that's it. So what do you have to say, all these other phrases? So Amalei, Anaka Hasvili, he says, I know Rabida Anasi's opinion, but I hold like a different opinion. Amar Rav Lazar Amar Boshia, Hapoches lo yivchos mi gimel, v'amosif lo yosef al zayin, that someone should say a minimum of three phrases of Havdalah and a maximum of seven phrases of Havdalah. So that's why I do what I do. So Amar Lei, v'hamar lo tlasa amar v'lo sheva amar. But by my count, you said four phrases of Havdalah. You didn't say three, and you didn't say seven. So it's a little bit difficult. What's the problem? He said you just shouldn't have less than three or more than seven. So maybe sometimes he'll say four, sometimes he'll say five. He happened to fit in the window. So what's wrong? So the Rashbam writes, Darba Amar, Umar Isa im litvos esamuat dayecha begimel vim l'rabus pasa ha'isa l'chalomar kol sheva. Meaning that just misvara, if you're trying to get away with the shortest possible Havdalah, so get away with the shortest possible Havdalah. And if you're trying to be a good guy and say more, so say as much as you can. Why would you cut it after four? Obviously you're not in such a rush, because then you would have done three. And if you're not in such a rush, so why don't you say a proper Havdalah? Why don't you say it as best as you possibly can? But again, not the strongest kasha of why he said four, according to the way the Rashbam views it. So Tosos has a different view. Tosos in the top Tosos, umistama o gimel o zayin tiknu kineged shum davar. When we say that the numbers 3 or 7, probably those numbers are meaningful. It's not just that we pick the numbers 3 or 7 out of a hat. The number 3 is probably meaningful, and the number 7 is probably meaningful. Shlo livchos ola hosif. And that's why we say don't do less than 3, don't do more than 7. But it also means don't do between 3 and 7, because those numbers in particular have some meaning to them. It's just like kedamar batcheles. Lo yivchos mi zayin keneged zayin rikim, vamosif lo yosef al yud gimel, Kineged Zayin Rukim v'shisha avirim. That when we have the chulios and the tzitzis, how many wines around this is machlokes rishonim, what chulios are. Are chulios the sections of the tzitzis, or are they each wind around with the string, is called the chulia. That's what Rav Shachter's makbid in his, when he ties his tchelos. So when we tie regular tzitzis, the chulios aren't as makbid, because aren't as critical to get it exactly right as it is with tchelos, because it's pashtus, is that's a din in the tchelos. That the tchelos is supposed to be what winds around the other strings. So it could be that with other with regular lavan, it's that we don't have to be as careful to make sure we get it exactly right. So that's why when you see people wear regular lavan, so they, everyone has the same. There's no million different shitas in how to tie it. But when you see people who wear the tcheles, what we believe to be the tcheles, so there are a million different shitas, because it's much more important to actually get it right when you're doing the tcheles. So because of that discussion of what a chulia is, so Rav Shachter's makbid to have 7 sections, each one with at least 7 wines. It turns out to a very long tzitzis, because the halacha is that the loose hanging strings are supposed to be twice as long as the section that's tied. So it comes out to have very, very big tzitzis. But anyway, that's all based on the idea that lo yifchos mizayin, you're not supposed to have any less than 7. Why 7? Keneged shiver rakiim. Why can't it be more than 13? Keneged shiver rakiim v'shisha avirim. So you see that those numbers in themselves, in and of themselves, are considered to be significant numbers. So that's why we have to stick to those numbers. So that's what the Achronim raise all sorts of questions, that according to Tosfos, it turns out when there's a number that's meaningful, you're supposed to stick to that number. You're not supposed to do more, you're not supposed to do less. So the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva in Orach Chaim Siman Ayin Hei says, it points to the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, why do we call 7 Olim on Shabbos Aliyos to the Torah? So the Gemara says that it's Keneged Shiva Roe Pnei HaMelech. But the Gemara says, you want to do less than 7, you're not allowed to. You want to do more than 7? Sure, no problem. You could do more than 7. You could do more people than 7. But if it's Keneged a specific number, according to Tosos, it should be Keneged a number. The Gemara, the Rosh in Mesech's Rosh Hashanah is Mochiach from the Gemara Megillah, that if a person wants to add extra Pesukim to Malchios in Shemoneh Esrei, in Mosef Shemoneh Esrei, in Rosh Hashanah, so you could do that. Just don't be poches. Don't do any less than the number. But again, according to this Tosos, the Chara, there should be a problem with adding also. The Ma'aril learns from the Gemara that if you want to light more than 2 Neros Shabbos, you're allowed to light more than 2 Neros Shabbos. So that's the first one that we actually do, right? So you're allowed to light more than 2 Neros Shabbos. Well, even though the Neros Shabbos are connected to Zachar v'Shamar, they're connected to the two mitzvos da'oraisa of Shabbos, Zechira Shabbos and Shmira Shabbos. You want to light more, because you can light more. So that's what the Achronim struggle with this. Why is it that when it comes to the Pesuk of Malchios, when it comes to Aliyos in the Torah, when it comes to Neros Shabbos, we have no problem with adding, but Tosfos says over here that we're not supposed to just add when there's a significant number. When it comes to the number of Havdalos, we don't add. So Chasam Sofer suggests that what would we have done had Chazal not been misakin anything? So he said, had Chazal not been misakin anything by Havdalos, so we would not have said any number of Havdalos. We just would have said that Shabbos is over, or been Mavdim Lekod Shalchol, just that, just one, and there wouldn't have been any specific number. So when Chazal put a specific number to it, we certainly wouldn't have gone on and on. So when Chazal put a specific number to it, we have to be makbid about that number, not going over that number. When it comes to Neir Shabbos, the Inyan is Onek Shabbos. So however much I need to light up my house, if I want to make a really light room and put in 150 lights, so I could do that. So if that adds to my Onek Shabbos. So that's not going to be something where we're going to be makbid about the number. When Chazal then put a simit to it, Zachar v'Shamar, a minimum of 2 candles, Keneged Zachar and Shamar, it's not meant to minimize what we otherwise would have done, if we otherwise would have done more. And it could be that the same is true with the Pesukim Pesukim of Malchus and Shmona Esrei, that who's to say where we should limit our praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe we could have gone on and on forever in our praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that the Chazal put a specific number to it, that they decided that it should dafka be 10 Keneged Asarim Amaros that the world was created with, yeah, so good. So it has to be a minimum of 10, but not a maximum of 10. But even when it comes to Neir Shabbos, remember Mordechai says there are poskim that say not to add more than two. There are those that are knowing not to have more than two Neir Shabbos. Remember Mordechai says don't add more than two. It's Keneged Zachar V'Shamar. Chazal knew what they were doing when they were Misakin Dafka Keneged Zachar V'Shamar. In the Shevet Akasi, he says that the minigin bells is that the husband lights two. The wife lights all the rest, and the husband lights two candles, just to show that two candles are different. Some of the Hasidim have a hakpada that two candles should stick out above the rest, that they should clearly be distinct from the rest of the candles. Again, just to show that inyan of Zachar V'Shamar still exists. So anyway, so back to the story. They asked Rava, so you didn't say three, you didn't say seven, you said four. So I'm like, Ivra ben yom ha-shili shes mi'amaseh me'in chasimahi. He says, no, that phrase of ben yom ha-shili shes mi'amaseh, that's not a separate phrase of Avdallah, that's just how to conclude the bracha. That's me'in chasima. How you speak chosem bracha with something similar to what you're saying at the end of the chasimas habracha. So that doesn't count as a separate avdala. So is there enough kamina that it doesn't count as a separate avdala? Meaning, other than the fact, once we know, okay, so now this is our nusach to say these four avdalas. So is there any enough kamina that phrase happens to not be one of four phrases? There are really only three phrases, and that's main chasima. So the Rishonim point out, the Ran points out, that when it comes to Atachon Antanu in Shmona Esrei and Motzai Shabbos, maybe you shouldn't say Ben Yom Hashvili Shesh Me'amasa. You should only say the other three Avdolos, because you already have a Chasima to that bracha. It's included within a bracha of Shmona Esrei. So you wouldn't have a Me'in Chasima when the bracha is Chonin Hadas, when the bracha is about Chonin Hadas. So by Atachon Antanu, the Chasima is Chonin Hadas. It wouldn't be Me'in Chasima. However, the Rambam, the Seder Atfilos, in the end of Sefer Ava, he has a Nusa of Seder Atfilos, he says we say Ben Yom HaShvili Shesh Me'amasa, and that's how the Rambam was Koveh the Minog, and the reason is that Abu Dram says that once that became the Nusach, that's the Nusach, we don't alter it when we adapt it to Tfila, it was the same Nusach that we would say Alakos, we would say B'Tfila as well. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Ve'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hamavdil Tzarek Shiyomer Me'in Chasima Samach LeChasimas. Someone saying Abdullah has to include a phrase that is similar to the Chasimas Habracha, to how we conclude the bracha, close to when we conclude the bracha. Upumbedisai Amri Me'in Psichasan Samach LeChasimasan. Now the concluding phrase of Abdullah should not relate to the theme of the closing bracha, but of the opening bracha of Havdalah. My benayu, what's enough community between them? Ika benayu, yom tov shchali osachar Shabbos. Meaning, on a regular Shabbos, it's all the same theme, beginning, the end. It's all about havdalah, so they wouldn't make a difference whether it's mein chasimasan or mein psichasan. But if yom tov falls out after Shabbos, the chasminon ben kodesh lekodesh, where the chasima is ben kodesh lekodesh, it's not ben kodesh lechol. So, what should the final phrase be? Should the final phrase be about ben kodesh lechol or ben kodesh lekodesh? So, man, yom mein psichasan samul chachas. So if you say that you should say the last thing you say should be similar to your opening phrase, then we shouldn't say Ben Kedusha Shabbos LeKedushas Yom Tov Ivdalta, because that's not what the opening of the bracha is. That's the closing of the bracha of Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. But the one that says that you're supposed to have a phrase that's similar to how we conclude the bracha, Ben Kedusha Shabbos LeKedushas Yom Tov Ivdalta, then you should add in a phrase of Kedusha Shabbos, separating Kedusha Shabbos from Kedushas Yom Tov, so that it could match up to the Chasimas HaBracha, which is Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. So that's going to be the Nafkamina. Gufo. So we mentioned earlier, Amar Blazer Amar Boshi, Apochis Leivchos Mishalosh, Vamosif LeYosef Al Sheva. A person should not say less than three or more than seven phrases of Havdalah in his Havdalah Bracha. So Meisvei, Omer Havdalah Smotzoi Shabbos, Smotzoi Yom Tov, Smotzoi Yom Kippur, Smotzoi Shabbos Yom Tov, Umotzoi Yom Tov L'Chol Shomoed, Avalob Smotzoi Yom Tov L'Shabbos. We say Havdalah on all these different days, but not when Yom Tov heads into Shabbos. We just had this experience several times. We don't say Havdalah when Yom Tov heads into Shabbos. We just say Kiddush, Haragil Omer Harbei, Vishena Ragil Omer, Achas, someone who's comfortable with the Nusach HaBracha and likes to say Hebrew phrases, so he should say many, many phrases. But someone who's not so comfortable with it, say one phrase of Abdallah. So it sounds like you could be Pochis Mishalosh, you're allowed to say less than three. So it says, where Tanai? He adds Machlokes Tanaim, which we already knew, because Rabbi Dunasir was the one who said that they would only say one phrase of Abdallah. So it says, Machlokes Tanaim, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Binon Shal Kedoshim Omer, Achas, V'naguam Lomar Shalosh. That the Benon Shel Kedoshim had the minhag that he would only say one phrase of Avdalah, but the minhag of the Am is to say three phrases of Avdalah. Man Yu Benon Shel Kedoshim, how does a person earn the title Benon Shel? Who is this guy that we call Benon Shel Kedoshim, and how does he earn the title? The Gemara will ask. Rabbi Menachem Bar Simai. So first we identify he is Rabbi Menachem Bar Simai. V'amai Karle Benon Shel Kedoshim, how did he earn that title Benon Shel Kedoshim? T'lo Estakel B'Tzursa D'Zuza. He had such a chumrah, he wouldn't look, he wouldn't gaze at the tzura on money, at the imprint on money of a person or whatever the tzura might be. So Shalach Rav Shmuel Bar Idi Chananya Achi Omer Achas V'Lasilch Sekavsei. Rav Shmuel Bar Idi says my brother Chananya also says only one phrase of Avdalah, but you should know we don't pass like that. So first of all, a number of things over here about this Tzurasa D'Zuza. So first, most fundamentally, we don't call him Kadosh, we call him Binan Shal Kedoshim. So whose minhag was it not to look at the Tzurasa D'Zuza? Was it his minhag or his father's minhag? Meaning, why do we refer to him as Binan Shal Kedoshim if he was the one with the minhag? So Tosus points out, a Rabbi Menachem Kai. No, it's about Rabbi Menachem. He's the one that had this minhag that he didn't look at the Tzurasa D'Zuza. Normally, Kodim Perek Basra, Ki Kanicha Nafshei Rabbi Menachem Barasimai Ishtanu Kol Tzimanya. He proves it from a Gemara that he was the one that had this chumrah. But then Tosfos points out, V'tolu kedushaso ba'aviv, shegam aviv hayakadosh. But we associate his kedusha with the kedusha of his father, because his father also happened to have been a kadosh. Ben Yoyada says that it's a maila and a covet for a person to be miyachisim to tzadikim negan eden. Especially what we're trying to highlight about him is that he wasn't mistakel b'tzuras d'zuza, meaning that he didn't connect to the ruchos hatuma, he didn't connect to Gashmius, right? That's clearly what the Tzurasa D'Zuza represents. So the best way to express that is by connecting him to Neshamos that are in Gan Eden, by connecting him to things that are completely removed from Gashmius. So we refer to Benon Shel Kedoshim, to his presumably deceased father, who's amongst those who are in Gan Eden. So that's how the Ben Yoyada suggests why we refer to as Benon Shel Kedoshim. But I saw in the Masifta over here quotes from one of the Achronim, Bar Genisa de Rabbi Meir, who says as follows, that based on the Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara Brachos discusses the age-old question, why is it that you have tzaddik v'ralo and sometimes tzaddik v'tovlo? Meaning, if every time it was tzaddik v'ralo, it wouldn't be such a kasha, you'd assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have some sort of cheshbin of that he's paying all tzaddikim, all their punishments in this world, so they will all be saved for the next world or something like that. But it's not always like that. Sometimes you have tzaddikim v'tovlohem, sometimes tzaddikim v'ralohem, sometimes it's rasha v'tovlo, sometimes rasha v'ralo. So the Gemara says, tzaddik ben tzaddik is tzaddik v'tovlo. Tzaddik ben Rasha, it's tzaddik v'ralo. That's one of the terutzim. There are several terutzim. The one that we seem to hold like is the one that says we don't know. It's beyond us to know. But one of the answers the Gemara gives is if it's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, so that's a tzaddik v'tovlo. Tzaddik ben Rasha is a tzaddik v'ralo. So what does it mean tzaddik v'ralo? So he suggests tzaddik v'ralo probably means that he struggles financially, that he's an ani, he doesn't have anything on his own. He has to be dependent on other people. So Rabbi Nachum Bar Simai was a tzaddik v'tovlo. He didn't need other people's money. That's what it means, Lo Yimistakel B'Tzuras Matbeya, that he wouldn't look at Tzurasa D'Zuza. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't look at the Tzura and Azuz. What's wrong with looking at the Tzura and Azuz? We'll get to that. Maybe there is something wrong. But that may not be what it may be speaking poetically, that he was never looking for other people's money because he was financially stable. He had everything that he needed. He didn't need to look at other people's money. So how did he get to that position? It must be that he was a Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik. So that's why we're told that he's Benon Shel Kedoshim, that it's not only that he's a Kadosh, but he's a Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik. So is there such an inyan not to look at a tzura on a zuz? Actually, before we even get to that, what we call him, the Gemara refers to him as Benon Shel Kiddushim, plural, not Benon Shel Kadosh. So the Benayahu and the Ben Yoyada says that maybe the Pshat in that is based on the Medrash Tanchuma on the Pasuk Kiddushim Tiyu, quotes the Pasuk in Yoshua, Ki Elokim Kiddushim Hu. So the Minim asked Rabbi Simlai, well, why does it say Elokim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kiddushim in the plural? Isn't there only one God? So it sounds like Kiddushim, that it's plural. So Rabbi Simlai answered, Shotim Shabaolam. It doesn't say Elokim Kiddushim Haim. It says Elokim Kiddushim Hu. Clearly it's only one God, but there are multiple levels of Kedusha. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kadosh in so many different ways. So he suggests that maybe Benon Shel Kedusha means that just like Mahu Afata, just like Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses his Kedusha in so many different ways, we have to express our Kedusha in many different ways. Kedusha Sa'inayim, Kedusha Sa'aznayim, Kedusha with all of our senses and with everything that we do. We have to have multiple expressions of that Kedusha. So maybe that's what Benon Shel Kedusha means. But a lot of times when we say Ben in Shas, it's not referring to who his parents are. You say someone, even in our own way of speaking, we refer to someone as a Ben Torah. It doesn't mean his father's name is Torah. It means that's his mahus. That's how he defines himself. So Benon Shel Kedusha may refer to the fact that he expresses all these different levels of Kedusha. So, okay, now just in terms of the halach lemaisa, when it comes to looking at a zuz, is there a problem with looking at the images on a coin? So Tosas Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Amud Alef asks, what's this great chasidus that he wasn't mistakel on the Tzuras HaMadbeos? The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes Amud Alef says there's an iser to be mistakel on the Tzuras of Chayos Meshunos or the different faces of people that they have on walls. Or so why would it be any different on a coin? So it's not just midas chasidus. It's Ikar Adin. You're not allowed to look at all these different images. So Tosfos Maseches Avodah Zarah Metarets that on the tzir that they have on coins, where people are constantly looking at them because it's currency, it's what people use all the time, so you wouldn't have the Yisra of Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim. And nevertheless, Rabbi Nachman Reis Simai, even though it was something that was so commonly used, so you wouldn't have the Yisra wouldn't apply because it wasn't special, so it clearly wasn't L'Shem Avodah Zarah, it was just something that everyone would have. So he had the special Akpada. That's what made him so Kadosh and different than beyond the letter of the law, beyond what was actually required. Tosfos Maseches Shabbos has different. Tosfos Maseches Shabbos says that it's dafka when the tzuros are made l'shem Avodah Zarah that there's nisr to be mistakel. But tzuros that are made just to make the coins look nice or to mint currency, to honor presidents or whatever, so that's not an isr to be mistakel at such coins. So Rabbi Nachman Bar Simai, even those that were only made l'noi, he wouldn't be mistakel. That was his extra chumrah. So that's the discussion in the Achronim, which Tosfos do we paskin like? In the Sefer Levushei Mordechai, he says that Tosfos Avodah Zarah was written after Tosfos Maseches Shabbos, and therefore Tosfos Maseches Avodah Zarah is the more authoritative one. I don't know the history. I don't know how they know that the Tosfos was written. Yeah, I assume all of it was studied. There were many Baalei Tosfos learning over many years, but it was finally signed, sealed, and delivered later. I'm not sure. I don't know. That's what he suggests. That's what he says. Okay, back to the Gemara now. So says Gemar, Amar Bishob and Levi, Hamabdul Sarok Shyomer Me'in Havdalos Hamuros B'Torah. When someone says Lishonos of Havdalah in his Havdalah, they should be Lishonos that reflect one of the Havdalos in the Torah. The Torah has many expressions of Havdalah, so that's our expressions of Havdalah should reflect those expressions in the Torah. Meisvei, so I'll ask on that, Seder Havdalos Heich, what's the normal way to say Havdalah? Omer Hamabdil, B'Kodesh Shalchol Ben Olachoshech Ben Shalam, Imeni Mashu Lishesh Me'amase, Bein Tamei L'Tahar, Bein Hayam L'Charava, Bein Mayim Helyonim L'Mayim Atachtonim, Bein Kohanim L'Levim V'Yisraelim, V'Chosim B'Sei D'Bereishis, then Yichosim B'Sei D'Bereishis. Well, this is all one giant Afyomi coincidence. It's right after Parashas Bereishis that we're discussing the Shesh Simei Masa. Okay, just to point it out. V'Achirim Omrim B'Yotze Bereishis. Others say it's B'Yotze Bereishis that you conclude it with. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah Omer, Chosim Mekadesh Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah says, no, we Chosim with Mekadesh Yisrael. V'im Isa, but wait a second, if you're supposed to only use those Havdalos that are described in the Torah as a Havdalah, it never says anything about Mavdil Bein Hayam L'Charava in the Torah. The term Havdalah is not used in describing Yam V'Charava in the Torah. So says Gemara, Sami Mikan Bein Hayam L'Charava. You're right, get rid of Bein Hayam L'Charava. That doesn't belong on the list over here, Bein Hayam L'Charava. So let's say there's a discussion in the Rishonim, was Rabbi Shua ben Levi Yitanor and Amora. So they try to figure out, based on this Gemara, they try to bring rayas one way or the other. because again, Rabbi Shimon Levi was one that says that you always have to conform to the Havdalos Hamuras B'Torah. So he said, oh yeah, but the Braisa says Ben Ayam L'Charava. So he said, okay, get rid of Ben Ayam L'Charava. So what does that tell you? So different Achronim, it tells different things. Some of the Achronim say, it tells you that obviously he was an Amora. Otherwise, why are we asking on him from a Braisa? We should, if he was a Tana, we would just say, so he argues. You wouldn't change the Braisa. You would say the Braisa argues, and Rabbi Shimon Levi disagrees with the Braisa. But others say, no, it's an indication that he was that he must have been a Tana. Because if he was an Amora, we wouldn't change the Braisa. We'd change Rabbi Shimon Levi. We'd say, to Yuchta, Rabbi Shimon Levi. We wouldn't change the Braisa. So who this discussion had is it machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, actually. Rashi in Nida Yud Chesem Bey says Rabbi Shimon Levi was an Amora. The Rambam, in the Akdamah to the Perush HaMishnayos, when he lists off all the different generations, lists off Rabbi Shimon Levi as a Tana. Now, the best raya that he's a Tana is that he appears in Mishnayos, in Pirkei Avos and in Maseches Uktin. So it seems that he's a Tana. So what's Rashi going to do with that? So the normal approach is there were two Rabbi Shimon Levis. There must have been the Rabbi Shimon Levi, the famous one, the Amora, and the Tana comes up in a couple of places, in a couple of Mishnayos. But again, this Gemara is a major source in trying to figure out that issue of what was Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Was he a Tana or an Amora? So anyway, frankly, Mari Ihachi ben Yamashush Shesme Amasanami Mein Chasimuhu Batzer Chadav Lekasheva. So he says, wait a second, if you take away Ben Yom L'Charava, you don't have seven anymore, because remember, Ben Yamashush Shesme Amasa doesn't count. That was just Mein Chasima, like we said on the top of the Abud. So you're only left with six Havdalos. So Amri Kohanim Levim Vyisraelim Trey Milininhu. The Havdalah between Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim is not one Havdalah, it's Ben Kohanim Levim and Ben Levim V'Yisraelim. Those are two separate phrases of Havdalah. Ben Levim Yisraelim D'chsiv Be'esahi Hivdil Hashem as Shevet Alevi. Ben Kohanim Levim D'chsiv, another pasuk between Kohanim Levim, Ben Amram Aron Moshe V'Yavdal Aron Nakdisho Kodesh Kadashim, that V'Yavdal rather Aron Nakdisho Kodesh Kadashim. Again, a Lashon of Havdalah. So Michta Maichasim, what Taka should be the chasima of the bracha. So Rav Amr Mekadesh Yisrael. Rav says the chasima should be Mekadesh Yisrael. Ushmul Amr Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Shmuel says, no, not Mekadesh Yisrael. It should be a Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. That's the real theme. It's about being Mavdil between Shabbos and weekdays. Layit Allah Abaye Vitem Rav Yosef Ahad Rav. Abaye and Rav Yosef didn't just not hold like Rav, they got very, very upset by Rav's chasima. To be Chosei Mavdala with Mekadesh Yisrael, they were very agitated by that. Like, it literally means they cursed it. They were very agitated by that. Why are they so agitated about it? What's so bad about being saying Mekadesh Yisrael, Kedushas Klal Yisrael, such a wonderful thing, such a nice, cheerful topic? So this is a discussion in the Rishonim, the Achronim. The Rama Mipanu writes in the Tshuva, says that in order that people shouldn't say that when Shabbos leaves, there's Kedushas Yisrael that's added, it will be a zilzul to Shabbos. That we're dafka going to highlight as Shabbos is leaving Kedushas Yisrael. No, you want to highlight Kedushas Yisrael, do it when Shabbos is coming in. But it's going to be a zilzul to Shabbos to highlight Kedushas Yisrael on the way out. And that goes for Eim Horvitz in the back of the Gemara. He says differently. He says that the Kepeda wasn't saying a nusach of Kedusha Motzai Shabbos, because to say that now that Shabbos is over and Sunday is beginning, now we have Kedusha, now we're relating to Kedusha, so that sounds Christian, right? That we're saying that we're being Makdish Sunday, so we don't want to mention Kedusha. We're Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. No, now it's Chol when Shabbos is ending. It's not at all Kedusha. The Ar Sameach has a different view. The Ar Sameach in the 29th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, and the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos says that the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra and of Kuf Chav Aleph, so points out that Moed Hashem Tzrichin Bezin, as we pointed out yesterday, that when it comes to Yom Tovim, Klal Yisrael is Mekadish Yom Tovim. When it comes to Shabbos Bereshis, it does not require a Kiddush Bezin. And the Rashbam over there says that Shabbos Bereshis doesn't require a Kiddush in the way that you would be Mekadesh Rosh Chodashim, let's say. We're not Mekadesh Sunday to therefore make the seventh day Shabbos, rather it's Kavua V'Kaima. So he says that the way, how we Mekadesh Chodashim, by doing it at the beginning, by being Mekadesh the Rosh of the Chodesh. So if Shabbos were the same, you'd be Mekadesh Sunday to start the Cheshbon, to start the count. Okay, this is day one and day seven is going to be Shabbos. But no, Shabbos is Kavua B'Kaima. Shabbos is not Kadosh because we make it Kadosh. Shabbos is Kadosh anyway. So Dafka, not to mention a Kedusha on Motzai Shabbos, because it's fundamentally different than you would have Rosh Chodesh. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Two lines from the bottom. Tanu Mishmei Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Kol Achosim Mekadesh Sol mavdil ben kodesh l'chol marich lo yom v'shnosav. If a person is chosim with both the mekadesh shol and the mavdil ben kodesh l'chol, so he'll get arichus yom v'shanim. It's a wonderful thing. V'las silchus kavasei. It's not really a wonderful thing. We don't pass in that way. Ula iklul pumbedisa. Ula went to pumbedisa. So Gemara tells a story. Ula visited pumbedisa. So when visiting Talmud Chacham comes, you want to find out all of his hanhagos and all of his piskei halacha. You want to learn from him. So Amalei Rav Yehuda the Rav Yitzchak Berei, Rav Yehuda told the son Rav Yitzchak, Zil amtile kalkala depire, go buy a nice fruit basket, v'chazi hechi avdil, and you don't want to come empty handed, you can go visit the Talmud Chacham, so come with a nice fruit basket, and go see how he says Havdalah, meaning let's see what his, that must have been the sugi they were learning, he was interested in seeing the minhag, go see what he does for Havdalah. Lo azal, so like a good son, he didn't go, shadalei labaye, he sent someone else, he wasn't going to neglect it entirely, so he sent somebody, he sent Abaye. Abaye, why don't you go and check it out for me and get back to me? So kiyasa Abaye, amrle hechiyomer. So when Abaye came back, so Rav Yitzchak, the son, said to Abaye, right, to his shaliach, no, tell me, I got to report back to my father. So tell me, what did he say? So amrle baruch hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, amar v'sulo. All he said is baruch hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. That was it. That was his entire avdalah. So now Rav Yitzchak comes back to his father, and Amalei Hechiyamer, his father says, "Nu, how did Ula say? What did Ula say in Avdala?" So Amalei, he says, "I got to be honest. Anolo Azli, I didn't go myself. Anashadirti l'Abaye, but I sent a shliach who's Neman, I sent a trustworthy shliach, Abaye, va'amrali, and Abaye told me, Hamavdil bin Kodesh l'chol, that he said, Hamavdil bin Kodesh l'chol. Amalei, Rav Ravnuse demar, v'sarruse demar, Gormale Lamar de Lotema Shmaite Mipume. Your ego got in the way of now a Dvar Shmua being said in your name, Halacha being said in your name for Dore Doros. Meaning now when people say over this Halacha, it's going to be Abaye in the name of Ula, and it's not going to be you, because you decided that you're too important to be sent on a mission like this, that you could find some underling to send on a mission like this. So it's because of that that the Halacha is not going to be said in your name anymore, for that reason. Now, the Achronim in the back of the Gemara try to figure out historically how this story could possibly be true, because it sounds like Abaye was already a trustworthy adult in the times of Rav Yehuda, right, when Rav Yehuda was around. So the Achronim asked, so the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that when Abaye and Rava were young children, they were sitting in front of Rabba, and they were 5 or 6 years old, and he said, Lemi Mavarchim, Rabba was testing them, who do we say Brachos to? So one of them pointed to the ceiling, the other one went outside and pointed to the sky. He's going to be Muftach Ali Bezesh, Shemara Rabbi Yisrael. This one's going to be very great. You know, the whole story over there. But they were both Ketanim. They were both 5 or 6 years old during the days of Rabbah. So it can't be that Abaye was too much older than Rava, because they were both children at the same time. So that's stage one. Abaye and Rava were around the same age, because they were both children at the same time. So given that, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Dafayin Beis on Beis, you got to put it all together. Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Dafayin Beis on Beis tells us that on the day that Rav Yehuda died, Rava was born. So if Rav and Abaye were roughly the same age, so granted, Abaye may have been a year older, 2 years older, so but the day Rav Yehuda died, Rav was born. How could Rav Yehuda be alive when Abaye is sent on a mission and trusted to report back what the Havdalah was? He couldn't have been more than 2 years old. How's it possible that it works out historically? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, you have to say that Abaye Rav in the Gemara and Brachos is not the regular Abaye Rav, but some other Abaye Rav, and the Melo Roim says in the name of Rabbeinu Yona, he's Gores Rava Bar Chanan in that Gemara. There was a different Rava. They have to say, otherwise, that's always the answer. That, but it's always these Achronim in the back of the Gemara. I don't know why it's their style to always be worried about these kinds of things. Like the Melo Roim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, they're always working on these. And wait a second, biographically, it doesn't work out. Historically, I don't know why. I don't know why you don't really find Rishonim that deal with it so much. You don't really find after that people care about it so much. It's tough, like the Melo Roim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that are always worried about Mitzvah Eisan, Maritzchias. They're always worried about these types of things. Okay, the Mularam also says, based on what it says in the Rambam, the Akdamah to the Al Chazaka, Rav Ashi was a Talmud of Rava. So he says, you have to say that the Gemara in Kiddushin, when it says that he was born on the day that the other one died, doesn't really mean it, because it also says that Rava was, that when Rava died, Rav Ashi was born. So how could Rav Ashi be a Talmud of Rava if Rav Ashi was born on the day that Rava died? So it must be that not that he was born, that he came into his own as a Ben Torah, as a Talmud Chacham, as something. It means some later rebirth in life. It doesn't just mean Stam that he was born at that point in time. Maybe that's just a technicality in the story, but also just another technicality in the story. He says because of your gaiva, because you didn't want to go yourself, so now they're not going to say any halachas over in your name. The halacha is not going to be said over in your name. Is that true? Is that the way it works? That the halacha is not supposed to be said over in the name of a middleman? Meaning he still reported it. Rav Yitzchak still reported it in the name of Abaye. Abaye said this is what he heard from Ula. So he's still on the chain of how it got reported. So is it not supposed to be said in the name of a middleman? So we know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Kolomer Dov B'Shem Avram Maybe Gula Oli Olam. It's a Mishnah in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. Magen Avram in the Sadr Shulchan Aruch in the Siman Kufnun Vav says that if someone is not Omer Dov B'Shem Ramo, he's over Belav. It's a violation of a Los Asay. It's difficult to figure out where's the Los Asay of not saying not being Omer Dover B'Shem Ramo. Is a Tshuva in the Nadav Yehuda Madura Tinyana where he works it out based on the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says Al Tigzol Dal Ki Dal Hu relates to not being Omer Dover B'Shem Ramo. That a poor man, all he has is his intellect and what he teaches, right, and what he says. So we're not Omer Dover B'Shem Ramo. Even the poorest of the poor at least has that, and you're robbing that from them. So that's the Los Asay. However, in terms of our issue of whether the middleman counts, there is a Gemara in Nazir, Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis, that tells us that when a Shmua is said over to Ish Mi Pi Ish, you only have to mention the first guy and the last guy. You're allowed to cut out the middleman. You don't have to mention the middleman in the story. You just have to mention the first guy and the last guy. Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Ha'aris on the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Nun Vav said from the Gemara in Nazir that apparently you don't violate a law when you're not Omer Dav B'Shem Ramo when you cut out the middleman. This happens all the time. I saw a Tshuva in the Debrei Tzinur once in Be'er Moshe. Someone asked him if you're learning Shulchan Aruch and you see that Pesachei Tshuva quotes a Nadav Yehuda, so can you quote it when you say it over? Can you quote it from the Nadav Yehuda or from whatever Tshuva say from the Pesachei Tshuva is quoting from? He's always quoting from Tshuva. You could look very smart. You'll look as smart as the Pesachei Tshuva when you know all the Tshuvas that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes. So do you have to say I saw the Pesachei Tshuva b'shem Nadav Yehuda, or can you say that you just saw the Nadav Yehuda? So he wanted a Taina if you looked it up in the Nadav Yehuda, and you saw it in the Nadav Yehuda, then you quote from the Nadav Yehuda, if you just saw it in Pesachei Tshuva. So you don't even know that the Nadav Yehuda says that. We like the Pesachei Tshuva, it's a wonderful sefer, but in general, when Baal HaTosfos quotes a Gemara, if you didn't look up the Gemara, you don't know that it says it exactly like that. A lot of times things are, people see it through their lens, so the Baal HaTosfos will quote the Gemara the way he views the Gemara, but Rashi read the Gemara entirely differently, it's all different, so you have to see it firsthand, if you want to quote it in that way. So anyway, so that's the Achronim suggest that it's certainly nothing wrong with including the middleman. And it's Midas Chasidus to say, I heard from this person, the name of this person, when I was in YU, Rav Baruch Simon used to always, every time he quoted anything, he said, I heard from Rav Mordechai Willing in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, in the name of Rav Chaim. Like he would go through like mamash, the whole chain of, so that's a wonderful thing, it's Midas Chasidus. But the father was telling him, no one's going to have to do that anymore. So you're cutting yourself out of the Masorah, and that's a very bad thing, or at least out of chiyuv of people to quote you when they quote this Masorah. So that's what the father was criticizing the son for. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Meisve kala brachos kulan. Kol brachos kulan poseach v'baruch v'chosei behem v'baruch chutz mibrachas mitzvos v'brachas peros v'brachas much l'chavirta u'bracha achrona shebekriya shema. The all brachos are supposed to start with the baruch atah Hashem and end with the baruch atah Hashem, with the exceptions of Birchas HaPeros, Lav Davka Peros, which means any Birchas HaNanin, Baruch Minei Mezonos, Baruch Priya Eitz, Shakol Nei B'Dvaro. It's just one Baruch HaTah Hashem. It doesn't start with Baruch HaTah Hashem and then end with another Baruch HaTah Hashem. Or Bracha Asmuch L'Chavirta, if there's a series of brachos, one right after the other, so also it's not Poseach and Choseim B'Baruch, because if it's coming on the heels of another bracha, so you're just Choseim B'Baruch, you're not Poseach B'Baruch. And the bracha achrona shebekriya shema, the bracha of emes v'yatziv, is not poseach b'baruch, even though it's not even really smucho l'chavirta, because you have kriya shema in the middle. Kriya shema is being mafsik in the middle, so it's not exactly bracha smucho l'chavirta, but still we're not poseach b'baruch. Rashbam points out for obvious reasons we're not poseach b'baruch. The Gemara in Brachos tells us we have to connect emes to the end of the third parasha of kriya shema. So it's even though it starts out v'yatziv, so we have to connect. It starts out emes v'yatziv, so we have to connect the MS to Hashem Elokim Emes. So we have to connect. connected to Kriya Shema, so we can't start it with a bracha. So in some of these brachas, Sheyesh Ven Poseach Bebaruch Ven Chosim Bebaruch, Sheyesh Ven Shechosim Baruch Ven Poseach Bebaruch. Some of these brachas start with a baruch and don't end with a baruch. Some end with a baruch, don't start with a bracha, with a baruch at Hashem. Va'atova Metiv Poseach Bebaruch Ven Chosim Baruch. But Atova Metiv starts with a baruch and is not Chosim with a baruch. So Kasha Ula, there's difficulty on Ula, because Ula was Pasach Bebaruch, but was not Chosim with Baruch when it comes to Havdalah. When Ula said Havdalah, he started with a bracha at the beginning, but wasn't Chosim. I thought all brachos need a psicha and a chasima. So I'm like, Ula, Hanami ki birchsa mitzvah tamya. Ula says, no, Havdalah is like a birchsa mitzvah. Birchsa mitzvah is my taima, mishum da hoda'ahi. Hanami hoda'ahi. Why does birchsa mitzvah not require another baruch at Hashem? Because birchsa mitzvah is hoda'ah, as Rashbam explains. There's no other theme in the middle of a birch samitzvah. It's one straight hodah. There's no other theme. That's it. It's al netilas lulav. So there's no need for a second baruch ata Hashem. So the lo hefsek tchinav, lo hefsek ritzoy, hiltach b'psichas and sagile. So it's good enough to have the psicha b'baruch. It's not like birchas kiddush where you need to be mesaper with the shevach of Shabbos. You need to talk about a special Shabbos is, and Birchas Yotzer are, where there's a Hefsek Tchina, Barach Mecha Rabim Rachem Aleinu, Birchas Avos, Divrei Ritzui, where you need to be Poseach and Chosim Baruch. It's just one theme, so that's it. So you only need Psicho or Chasima. In that way, Havdalah is like Birchas Mitzvos, and that's why Ula says you don't need both. Now in the Shara Ephraim, if you look at the Rashi and the Rashbam over here in Dibra Maskel Yesh Vehen, they say the reason why you don't need to be Poseach Bebaruch Ad Bracha Smuch LeChavrita is because you already were Poseach Bebaruch, meaning the previous bracha you already were Poseach Bebaruch, so there, you're covered with that. You don't need to be Poseach Bebaruch again. So the Shara Ephraim points out that even brachos that you say after the Haftarah, those are brachos asmuchos l'chavratan, and that's why they're not poseach b'baruch. So he says, if that's the case, then you shouldn't divide it and give the different brachos to different people, because then the different people who are saying the later brachos did not start with a baruch. It's only the first guy that started with a baruch. They had Shomei Kohona, so they were Yosef, but he says he's not satisfied with that. He thinks that if you're going to say a bracha, so you should start with a baruch, unless you started the previous bracha with a baruch ata Hashem. So that turns out a big issue, not for Birchas Haftarah, because who splits Birchas Haftarah anyway? I don't know, do you ever see by twins by a bar mitzvah if they do that? I don't know. I've never seen Birchas Haftarah really split, but it comes out to be a very big inyan when it comes to Sheva brachos. Right, the Sheva brachos, it used to be the minhag in Europe was that one rabbi said, there was only one rabbi in the town. There was the Rav of the town, the Rav of the Shtat. So that was it. He was in Masada Kiddushin. So he said all the brachos. He said all the Sheva brachos. So that was it. So one person would say all the Sheva brachos. Still, there are some people that are makbid about this. I think the Kleisenberger, when they would ask him to be Masada Kiddushin, insisted that he say all of Sheva brachos. I know there are Sfari Chachamim that are makbid about this. Bizmanenu, I have a Talmud who, when he got married, he called me up to apologize a million times. I'm not getting a bracha under the chuppah. I mean, eight Kiddushin, because it's the only keeper I have, because the Chacham insists it's really fine, you know. But our minig is that we divide it. So l'chora, it's against this Shara Ephraim. They say, Rav Shach Lowy says this, that the Satmar Rebbe didn't like this minig at all. Satmar Rebbe's Chacham Bracha, when he saw that the minig in America was to divide one baruch, each of the brachs, the Shara brachs amongst different people, he said, soon it's going to be, one guy's going to be mechubur with burich, and the next guy's going to be mechubur with ato. You know, they're going to divide up all the words. He didn't like that at all. So it used to be, even when they first divided up, that the first two brachos, but the Baruch Pri Hagafen and Shachal Baruch Kvodo were together. So the reason for that was they didn't view it as much of a kibbutz to just get someone to say Baruch Pri Hagafen. I can say Baruch Pri Hagafen in my house. I don't need to even be at a wedding. Say Baruch Pri Hagafen. So if we mechabit somebody, at least give him something that he can't normally say. But now again, just to fulfill all of these, all the chiyuvim that we have to give kibbutzim to so many different people, because everybody's Rashka Bahag. So we need to give seven different brachos. People. The tshuva, Menashe Klein has a tshuva about this, about how to satisfy or why. Why it is that it's okay, that it's not a problem to divide up the brachos into so many different people when we say the brachos. Now Tosfos over here raises the issue. Just one last point over here. Tosfos over here raises the issue: is this rule true that all brachos are poseach b'baruch v'chosim baruch, except for the ones we pointed out, except for brachos on foods and birchos on mitzvos and the bracha after kriyashma? That's not, he says, I could think of lots of brachas that it's not true about. He says, what about Elokai Neshama? So you say, no, Elokai Neshama is a bracha smuch l'chavrita. He says, but it wasn't always. When they instituted the Nusach, it wasn't part of a series of brachos in Birchas HaShachar. He says, take bracha Elokai Neshama, am I lo posachos b'baruch? Originally, Elokai Neshama was first thing you would say when you wake up. When you wake up, you'd say, L'kai Neshama, that was the first bracha. How come it doesn't start with Baruch? V'chein kasha me'atahu ad shelo nivra olam. U'tfilas ha'derech shechose me'ne posech b'baruch. Why does tfilas ha'derech not start with a bracha? It's a long bracha. It's got all sorts of themes in the middle of it. So why doesn't that start with a Baruch? He says some brachos are said b'toras brachos, and some brachos are said b'toras tefila. They just happen to be couched in the terminology of a bracha. So tefilas haderech is primarily a tefila. Elokai Neshama is primarily a tefila. It's not in the format of a bracha, of a hoda'a. It's more of a bakasha, more of a tefila. So therefore, it doesn't have to follow the rules of beginning and ending with a bracha. But that itself is a major discussion of Rishonim. What the answer to Tosfos Kasha is, not everyone says like Tosfos. Okay.